broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We make truth your bitch. Nothing personal, but we do. We are here at the El Pacifico. This is where we broadcast from. Where is that? The land of fog and sea lions here on the just a little bit north of Los Angeles. We're on the Ventura, L.A. County line. We have our own studio here. We have our own. We got our own everything. We are, you know, in the post-Art Bell era, man. We're not off the grid, but
damn close.
Pretty close. And Art, wherever you are, God bless you, man. God, I was just looking at some of the comments that, you know, Kevin Pollak and I were talking about Art Bell and the genius that he is, and he is, and what he was able to accomplish. So wherever you are, man, that's where you need to be, because you know what you're doing, man. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. A teacher gets canned because of his past in gay porn. That seems a little rough. Can people make mistakes? Are we allowed to screw up? Do we have to be perfect? In other words, he didn't murder anybody. He didn't molest a child. I understand there's some crimes you can never forgive, at least not forgive and allow the person into certain areas of life. I think molesting children, I think you have to pretty much keep an eye on somebody like that. I think people that have, there's all kinds of offenses that we can talk about, but are we allowed to be people? Is being a human being, that's no good anymore, is that it? We can't be human beings. We can't. See, we're all squeaky clean. Bull crap. Oh, yeah. Presidents, Congress people, everybody that's in the public eye has got to be a cut above. They got to be Superman. They got to be Superwoman. They got to be something that nobody else on Earth is. We want to see if they can run a gauntlet that's absolutely impossible, completely unfair. We want to see if they can survive being lied about. We want to see if they can survive being maligned. We want to see if they can survive rumor and innuendo. We want to see if they can survive the shifting and very flimsy morality and ethics of this society. We want to see if they can make it past all of that. Well, then hell, we'll let them be a teacher. And you know something? Isn't that just a lucky day in someone's life when they get to be an American teacher? Don't make any money. Every brain surgeon in the world, meaning not too bright, on your back telling you how to do your job. Every bigot, every moron, every crack-addicted mother, every absentee father, they all got an opinion about how you're supposed to do this, that, or something else. And they won't make sure that you're teaching their kid right. Meanwhile, they wouldn't know what 2 + 2 was, man, if you spelled out 4 for them. So here's a guy that gets canned because he had been in gay porn. What does that mean? Well, to many people, it means he's some kind of a pervert. He must like little boys. He must have something special for kids. As opposed to straight porn, that's the good kind of porn. That's the kind of porn where, you know, you're only sinning as an adult, but there isn't any possibility that you may like kids. And, you know, we could continue this discussion. You know pretty much what I'm saying here. There's nothing is adding up here, people. We need teachers, man, don't we?
Yeah, sure we do.
Robert?
Yeah, we need teachers. We need good teachers.
Yes, we need good teachers. So if somebody is not a good teacher because they were in gay porn, then you've lost me, you know. I don't want to have anything to do with the system then. If that is the system... Now, I know they say to you, you should stick around and fight the system, Phil. Yeah, sure. Right.
But why don't you want to fight the system?
Let me tell you about fighting the system. First of all, you fight it alone. Second of all, there's nobody's going to thank you for it. Third of all, your chances of winning are slim to none. Second of all, yes, I understand there are some people that break through and they become, you know, great heroes. They fight the system. They fought City Hall. They did it. But that is a very, very rare thing. You stick your neck out for somebody, you wind up getting your head cut off. That is the reality of life. That's why we are, you know, impressed with the heroes, because heroes are people that go out and do it despite all of those threats. And heroes don't come along every day. They don't come along every lifetime. They're few and far between. People with guts, we may think that they're out there in abundance. No, they ain't. So who's going to stand up for this guy? Well, we'll find out. We also have a story here about a Missouri teacher suing over the Facebook law. She can't even contact her own child on Facebook. Well, how were you talking to your kid before there was Facebook? Match.com settles a suit with a pledge to screen out sex offenders. Good idea. And here's one that I thought I'd start the hour with. It's not really all that unusual, but it is nonetheless a fascinating story when it happens. A freshman Republican lawmaker resigned because his wife sent an offensive and racist email to the Democratic State Senate campaign of 9-time Olympic gold medalist Carl Lewis, a GOP official acknowledged on Monday. Pat Delaney has stepped down from the state assembly this month and said he won't seek a full term in November because of his wife's missive to Lewis's campaign, Burlington County Republican Chairman Bill Layton said. Delaney originally cited an unspecified family issue as the reason, but now we find out that his wife sent a email to Carl Lewis. If you remember Carl Lewis, he was a gold medal winner, multiple gold medals in the 84 Olympics. He's a political novice who is among one of the greatest athletes of all time. He is a black man. Delaney's wife, Jennifer, is white. Her email said, in part, imagine having dark skin and name recognition and the nerve to think that equaled knowing something about politics. Let me repeat this, and you can roll it around in your mind. Imagine having dark skin and name recognition and the nerve to think that equaled knowing something about politics. Now, I know this idiot, this Jennifer Delaney who sent this, I don't know her, but I know what she was thinking. What she was thinking and what she should have said, and again, I'm not saying the woman isn't a racist, but in her mind, what she was saying is the following thing. Imagine being a celebrity and that equaling knowledge about politics. That's what she should have said.
Yeah, but she said a black skin, that means she racist.
Yeah. What are you trying to forgive it for, ma'am? She said a black skin.
I'm not trying to forgive it. What I'm saying, I'm always fascinated by whites, especially, who say stupid stuff like this. I never meant that wasn't racist. What I meant to say, what you meant to say, listen, stupid, you better articulate very clearly what it was you meant to say. And what she meant to say, if she had any kind of brain power, was it celebrity. But what she did was she broke down the celebrity to skin color and to name recognition, which in and of itself, I suppose, is celebrity. Not really celebrity, because you can have name recognition if you're a serial murderer. So name recognition, meaning you're well-known, you could be infamous or famous, and your skin is black. So she probably today, and I know what you're saying, Robert.
No, you don't know what I'm saying. That woman, if she meant to say celebrity, she would have said celebrity. She didn't say that. She said name recognition and black skin. She's talking about being a black man, and there's nothing different about that.
Well, all right. Look, I'm not going to disagree with you, but there's a certain kind of stupidity at work in people like this. There's a certain, and I've been around it my whole life. The stupidity is along the lines of, I meant to say something, why don't you people see what it was that I meant to say?
Well, then she should have said what she meant to say.
Well, you're right. I'm not denying that.
Yeah, but are you saying she ain't a racism?
What do you mean racism, man? You mean racist?
Yeah, you saying she's not racist?
No, I'm not saying she's not racist either. I'm saying, in fact, she is racist. See, it's not about whether they're racist or not. You guys don't get this. It's not about whether they're racist or not. There's all kinds of racists. But if you want to be in public office, if you want your husband to be in public office, you can't betray that. Now, maybe she doesn't even know she's racist. But even still, if you're any kind of a brain surgeon, you got to be, if you're running for public office, you want to be in politics, then you have to know how to communicate. You got to know how to communicate in such a way that it gets through to people in a positive way. And if you're dumb, you don't know how to do that. Then it comes out sloppy. You can be a racist. You may think that Carl Lewis is not equal to anybody that he may run against because he's black. But do you want to get elected? Would you want to get elected?
Yeah, I want to get elected.
All right. Then the first thing you don't want to do is let people know you're a racist. Do you?
Yeah, but if that's what racism is, your philosophy,
Well, all right, then. If you're a racist and you expect to get elected to any office of significance in the United States of America, you're an imbecile. You know, do yourself a favor, man, and just take up something else. Knitting, I don't know what, macrame, go out for, you know, the volleyball team, something, because you're in the wrong line of work, Jack. If you think you're going to get elected to public office in America as a full-bore admitted racist and you're going to have any kind of run of significance in politics, give it up. It ain't going to happen. Not now. This idiot sends this guy an email, and it has all of the racial tinge to it, but I sincerely believe that she could have gotten away with it if she'd said that you think celebrity equals knowledge in politics.
Yeah, well, you're saying that. You're putting words in her mouth.
Well, maybe. Layton said Pat Delaney decided to leave office to shield his three children from a hurtful and embarrassing public spectacle involving their dumbass mother. No, he didn't say that, but almost. Former Assemblyman Pat Delaney's wife inexplicably sent an offensive and racist email in response to a routine email from Carl Lewis's campaign. Her actions were inexcusable, Layton said. Delaney said in a statement that he and his wife don't share the same racial views. He said he was sorry. Boy, are they're just hanging her out to dry, man. On behalf of my family, we sincerely apologize to Mr. Lewis for any pain this caused him. Neither the Delaneys nor Lewis could be reached for comment. Lewis is running for state senate in New Jersey's 8th legislative district. Delaney was part of the opposing GOP assembly slate in that district.
And didn't that the lady said something?
No, she doesn't. She's not quoted, but I'll tell you, they hung her ass out to dry, Jack. All right, coming up, Jeff Dowder and David G. Hall may stop by, plus a teacher who starred in gay porn gets canned. He reached out to the ACLU, but did they help him? PhilHenryShow.com is our website. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Jeff Dowder is joining us from Hermosa Beach, where I think you guys have just finished up at Mr. Pooh's, right, Jeff, your band?
Yeah, we did. We had a couple of sets tonight, so it went pretty good. A lot better than we expected. We had Led Zeppelin, which is a tribute band, and we usually have three bands tonight, but I wanted to also mention...
Who's the band Led Zeppelin?
Yeah, Led Zeppelin's like a tribute. Well, it's not really a tribute band. It's more of a band that they do metal. They do some Zeppelin songs, but mostly they'll do, their own material. So that was opening band tonight. They did a set. We did another set. We just finished up.
So this is the anniversary, is it not, of the birth... or yesterday was, of Keith Moon.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Or, I mean, yeah, I am. Or, no, it's not. No, it's not today.
I mean, yesterday.
Yes, it was yesterday. That was Keith Moon's birthday, right.
And you're a drummer, and tell me about the significance of Keith Moon's birthday.
Well, I mean, it's the significance of Keith Moon's, of life, you know. He, was a very energetic drummer. He was very theatrical, but a lot of people overlook the fact that he had a great control of the instrument. He was a great drummer. I mean, he had an incredible, kept time and, you know, everything like you're supposed to do. Also was able to use, he was a drummer that, even though the Who only had one bass drum, he was equally... comfortable with two bass drums for both feet, you know.
Now, tell people who are not familiar with drumming, the bass drum is the big round drum in the front.
Yeah, it's generally the drum that you see. It's generally the drum that, in fact, in the Who, that was, they had the name of the band on the bass drum.
And Keith Moon would sometimes use two, huh?
Yeah, he, what we used to call, you know, guys use one bass drum, call them a one-legged band. Keith Moon could use both I mean, Ginger Baker could use both. There's a few drummers that was that good, you know.
How many do you use?
Well, I mean, that's not fair. I mean, I only use one. I mean, I feel that I am a good drummer, but I'm not no, you know, Keith Moon or anything like that.
So what, when we talk about drummers, who do you think are the better drummers? Rock drummers, jazz drummers?
Well, I mean, you can't really say. Yeah, it depends on a drummer. In jazz, there's been many great drummers, you know. Buddy Rich was a great drummer. Elvin Jones, a great drummer. But, I mean, in rock, too, you know. So it depends on the person, you know. It's not really the genre. I'll give you an example of what made Keith Moon special. Keith Moon could do, like, this is basic. This is called a triplicate. And what I use is, I use a drum pad, Phil, so you can hear it better on the phone.
Okay.
And I'm going to put the phone down now. You can hear, this is my drum pad here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you good. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, this is a triplicate, basic Keith Moon, and this is a song that we do from Dark Horse called, it's an old song, was Judgment at Sunrise, The Parting, and then Judgment at Sunrise, The Party, and...
Hold on for a minute. What are these?
Oh, that was the three-part, that was the rock opera that we did on our first, it's not a rock opera or nothing, but we did three-part Judgment Sunrise. Judgment Sunrise, The Parting, and Judgment Sunrise, Party.
And I can't understand you, Jeff. Judgment at Sunrise.
Judgment at Sunrise.
And then what?
Judgment at Sunrise, the Parting.
Judgment at Sunrise, The Parting.
Yeah, and then Judgment at Sunrise, The Party.
Judgment at Sunrise, The Party. So these were the three...
Yeah, these are three parts of a longer piece, you know, of a longer rock epic. You know, because we don't do no rock operas. The Who did rock operas, if you want to talk about a rock opera. The Who done a rock opera when they did Quadrophenia and they did Tommy and like that. We do rock epics. And here's an example of the rock epic at Judgment Sunrise. One, two. Okay, what you just, can you hear that?
Not really, man. I mean...
All right, hold on. I got to get some heavier sticks. Hey, Boney. Boney, give me the heavier stick. Yeah, I'm on the radio right now. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to get a heavier stick. Move that out of there. Get that out of here. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is Judgment of Sunrise. These are the triplicates. One, two, three. Hey, did you see that? Or I don't know if you saw that. Not saw it, but did you hear that?
I can't hear. You're going to have to do that a little bit louder for me, okay? Because, first of all, I apologize to our people watching Phil TV. We had it on Wahoo McDaniel.
You did what?
Never mind, okay? Do it again.
What do you want me to do? Judgment, Sunrise, The Party?
I don't know the difference between these things. Just do the... What was it? You called it a triplicate?
Yeah, this is a triplicate. Here it is. One, two, three... And then 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, it's difficult to do on the phone. And
well, you're using a drum pad. Is that the problem? It sounds to me like you're not, I don't hear.
You're having a hard time hearing it.
Sort of, yeah.
All right, let me try one more time. Give me the heavier sticks, Biff. Give me the heavier stick, yeah, okay. All right, here we go, Phil. This is Judgment Sunrise, The Parting, She-Wolf. And it goes like this, so you know the song goes, and we're going to go down to the Judgment at Sunrise. And everybody's going to meet at the beach. All right, now what that was, a very, very classic, heavy, you know, rock, heavy, okay?
You sound tired, and I have to tell you, it sounds like you're playing drums with...
What?
It sounds like you're playing drums with pencils or something, man.
Okay, man.
No, I'm sorry.
There's no reason to do that. You know, I happen to be an experienced drummer, and I think it is, you know...
No, I'm not dissing your drumming. I literally... I'm hearing. What are you playing with?
They're very light sticks. Okay, they're very light sticks. They're only the size. They're only about the. They're about the size of a chopstick, and you use those in some areas of the rock opera, or not the rock opera. I mean the rock epic, like in Judgment Sunrise, The Parting, when the she-wolf arrives.
Look, I don't know about the she-wolf. I got a break. I thank you very much, Jeff.
Well, that's a gif, man, because I was going to say...
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Well, that's a gif, man.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. So, you know, if you don't, and we were a little confused, to be honest with you. I thought that the new Freedom Tower, One World Trade Center, the new tower that is being built that will eventually be the tallest building in the United States and among one of the tallest in the world, was close to completion. It won't be done until February of 2013. So that's just a little more. It's a year and a half away. All right. So when we have the memorial there at Ground Zero, which I guess we should no longer call it Ground Zero, at One World Trade Center, it will be a memorial at a building that is not fully completed. Now that brings me to one of the memorials that's been important. You know, it's really funny about this. When I talk about 9/11, I talk about the memorial sites, and I talk about, you know, how strong I feel about this. It pisses some people off, and it really, that pisses me off, you know? There's an escalation of pissed offness, you know?
Why?
Well, I can't even imagine people, these small-minded mothers out there who get, you know, bugged if I talk about 9/11. You know, I just, anyway, I've had people saying things like, you know, people die. People die. When that guy said that to me, I could have freaking knocked his head off his shoulders. People die? So in other words, we should just have an acceptable level of terrorist killings in our country, and we'll just sit there and suck on that because people die. How about your mama dying, okay? How about that? Boy, did that bother me. So I had to kill him. Now then.
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding, bud. I did. I killed a man with my bare hands. Yes, I'm kidding, okay?
Wow, man. You believe that?
I don't know.
Anyway, the memorial that I'm very interested in is the Shanksville Memorial, the Flight 93 Memorial. What is done? What isn't done? What's it going to look like? What doesn't it look like? What the hell? You know, I know that they have solicited for donations to complete it. A common field one day, a field of honor forever. On Tuesday morning, September 11, 2001. Okay, so we know the history of Flight 93. Now, on September the 11th, the weekend, the dedication and commemoration, the National Park Service invites you to become a part of a historic weekend dedicating Phase 1 of the permanent memorial and commemoration of the 10th anniversary of September the 11th. Check back for updates. Okay. The dedication and commemoration will be filled with many ways to honor the story of Flight 93, the dedication of the memorial on Saturday, September the 10th, and the 10th anniversary commemoration on Sunday, September the 11th, will be the focal points of the weekend. In addition, events will be spread over the entire weekend. Follow the links below for more detailed information. Where am I? I am on www.nps.gov/whatever, man.
/whatever, man.
It's the thing for the September 11th Shanksville Memorial. There's general information. There's a September 10th memorial dedication. There's a September 11th anniversary. There's group visits, media, and all that. Flight 93 National Memorial will be closed to the public on the morning of Monday, September the 12th, and will reopen at 2 p.m. So this is the first phase. And they have on this page some, I would love to, you know what we'll do is we'll put it up on Phil TV and HD here in just a second. What happened to the mouse pad, bud?
I don't know.
Find it, okay?
What are you doing with that, man?
Where's the mouse pad?
I don't know.
Then get it. You know, I got stuff I got to do here, Jack. Oh, here it is. What are you doing, man? We're gonna flip it over during our next break, guys, and we'll give you some good pictures there of the memorial. Now, what's the latest controversy? Well, the latest controversy, I thought it was, it actually bothered me, and then I realized, wait a second, this is a part of the traditional observance of 9/11. Now, listen, religious leaders are calling on Mayor Michael Bloomberg to reverse orders and to reverse course and offer clergy a role in the ceremony commemorating the 10th anniversary of the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. Rudy Washington, the deputy mayor and former mayor Rudy Giuliani's administration, says he's outraged. This is America, and to have a memorial service where there's no prayer, this appears to be insanity to me, said Mr. Washington, who has suffered severe medical problems connected to the time he spent at Ground Zero. I feel like America has lost its way. Now, wait just a second, sir. According to our research, unless we are completely, you know, wrong, there haven't been clergy at the previous memorials. I don't think that there was clergy. I was at one of them. I actually was at the first anniversary. I was in New York on September the 11th, 2002. I remember a reading of the victims' names. I remember all of the members of law enforcement that showed up from just about every part of not only our country, but there were a lot of police officers from England. We saw police officers from France. We saw firefighters from all over the country. We saw, and of course, thousands and thousands of people. It was one of the most moving things I ever saw in my life. In fact, I think I told you guys this, but we were in a hotel on Times Square. And it was the morning of the 11th, and we were there. We were going to broadcast from a series of studios at the Embassy Suites that had been set up by ABC. And that morning, as I lay in bed, I thought that there was some kind of a hissing sound coming from the air conditioner. And then I thought it was some kind of sounded like bells. Until I realized, wait a second, what I'm hearing bagpipes. So I got up, and it was 5:30 in the morning. It was still dark. And I got up, and I opened the windows that looked out onto Times Square, and I saw coming down Broadway the lights on the police cruisers lighting up the street. There must have been 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 radio cars, police cars, fire trucks. And I saw in front of them the marching bagpipe players of the New York Police Department. The NYPD's, one of their divisions, one of the precincts, had bagpipe players leading this group of bagpipe players and firefighters. There were the New York City firefighters. Then there were firefighters from around the country. And then trailing behind, suddenly, were just people like you and me, who started out with them way uptown. I don't know where they were, coming all the way, heading downtown, heading to Midtown and heading downtown. They began to draw pedestrians and just regular people behind them until by the time they got to Times Square, there was a crowd of thousands following behind these bagpipe players and these fire trucks and these firemen. And when they and I remember running, grabbing my camera and running downstairs. And as they I just got there just in time, man, as the bagpipe players were passing by. And the firefighters were there. I remember seeing a bunch of firefighters standing on the sidewalk, a little confused as to what they were going to do, because I guess they were somewhere in Times Square at a hotel, and they got into their uniforms. They came down there. They kind of looked one way, looked the other, and just said, the hell with it. And they just went right into the ranks of the firefighters and started walking with them. And I got some pictures and followed them, I don't know, 2-3 blocks down the street. And then, you know, went back up, got Maria. Because we weren't planning on going down to the, in those days, they called it the pile. They alternately called it the pile, the hole. There were a lot of things they called it. By the time I saw it 6 weeks after the plane struck, it was the pile. And then a year later, it was the hole. So we went down at about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, I think. And we stood there, and it was amazing. It was amazing. There was a crowd of people there, and right next to me were these sawhorses. And then down the middle of this crowd of us, and then crossing the street to get to Ground Zero, were the relatives. And I'll never forget this, because they asked them, they said, now, if you're a relative, hold up your arm so we can see your armband. We can see your armband. If you're one of the relatives, hold it up. And this one woman who was carrying the picture of a younger woman with her was so bereaved that her daughter or whoever it was with her had to lift her arm up for her and say she's a family. She could barely raise her arm. And they all went in a little line into the pit. And that's where it began. They started to read the names of all of the people, the victims. It was a celebration of our country that if you grew up during the time of Vietnam like I did, when there was hatred for America, when the flag was burned and spit on all the time, and I was a part of that generation, you know, I was a part of that generation. And I got older, and I got smarter, or dumber, or whatever you want to call it. But people change, you know. People do change. What is life unless you can take in new things and say, oh, wow, that's interesting. I think I'll think differently about it now. You live your whole life so rigidly that you only think one thing. What a wasted life. But you can't learn anything, and you can't change, and you can't open up, and you can't say, I was wrong then, I'm right now. I was right then, maybe I'm wrong now. You can't be that honest with yourself. You're wasting your life. You may think that you got it over on people, and you may think you're having yourself, you're so lucky to be right all the time. You're wasting your life. At the end of your life, you're going to wonder what happened. Where did it go? Why didn't I open up and look at some other ways of doing things? So I was a part of that generation, and I remember the country losing its way in the 70s. It was not anything that was considered cool to love your country. It wasn't considered cool to fly the flag. It wasn't considered cool to be an American, you know? And somewhere along the line, we got it back. We still have these people who think that they're original thinkers, and they're not. They're vestiges of a time that is 40 years old, who think that America's this, America's that, America's something else. Only Americans have the luxury, and the stupidity, by the way, to think that their country is something less than it is. Only Americans indulge in the luxury of sitting on their thumb and talking about how, you know, how messed up it is, and if only we did things the way the British or the French or somebody else. You haven't got a freaking clue.
Yeah, you know what you're talking about, though.
I don't know what I'm talking. I know what I believe, okay?
Yeah, but how do you know the British don't know better about, like, healthcare and everything like that?
Okay, let's talk about that, bud. Do the British know more about healthcare, or do they know more about providing healthcare?
What's that mean?
In other words, do they have better healthcare there, or do they just provide more healthcare for more people?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. I'd say they provide more healthcare, but I don't think they got better doctors.
Exactly. The medical attention and the medical people, the treatment you get in America is the best in the world. Now, are we bad at giving it to everybody? Yeah. But guess what? When it comes to the doctors and the nurses and just the facilities, this is the best.
Well, so what? If a guy dies, you're going to have to crawl to the emergency room.
Okay. So what are you saying? America sucks?
No, I'm not saying America sucks. But you just want something that we do better.
What?
Something that they do better than us.
They don't do nothing better than us, other than dole out crappy health care to everybody.
That means everybody gets the same crappy health care.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, we'll be back here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Don't forget our website and, of course, our merchandise store. We have the ball caps. We've got a brand-new Phil Henry Show ball cap that is going to be in our store this week. Nobody has the ball cap, and this has got the Phil Henry Show insignia right there, front and center. So you got to get this with a brass buckle. It's a beautiful thing, man. It's in our merchandise store at philhenryshow.com. Coming up, a former gay porn star loses his gig as a teacher. Is it fair? We'll get into it on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
So there's this teacher. His name's Sean Loftus. He was in the gay porn business. He was an actor. And he was also a teacher or I don't know if he was a teacher. He's a teacher now, or, he, well, let me just read the story. One of CNN's most popular citizen reporters was fired from his substitute teaching job after school officials unearthed evidence he used to be a gay porn star. Okay. Sean Loftus ditched his porn career in the spring of 2010 to focus on teaching, but he's still widely known by his X-rated alias. According to the Miami New Times, his hardcore performance won him several awards. Wikipedia lists his porn accolades and some of the videos he's appeared in. A printout page was included in a memo that Alan Bernstein, Florida middle school principal, sent to Loftus, called him down to the office to discuss his noncompliance. I don't see yet, and I'm asking my producer, where did he noncomply? He had a porn career. He no longer has the... Is that what you call a noncompliance? Because he had the porn career. Okay, in other words, there is no site. So if you're telling me there's a website and you can't tell me in the story that you sent me to read on the air where that is, then, you know, it doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned. A printout of the page was included in a memo that this middle school teacher sent to him, wanted to talk to him. Loftus was suspended. So as far as the Phil Hendry Show is concerned, because we haven't got any other information that I was told existed, they have suspended a man from his job because of Wikipedia. And you know about Wikipedia, don't you? You know about the Internet. I mean, there are people who are character assassins out there. There are losers out there that want everybody else to be a loser. And so they go around and they post things, and some dumbass like this middle school principal, Alan Bernstein, decides that he's going to bite and fire a man. The guy used to be a porn actor. I understand that. Is that something you want around kids? Probably not, but he's not doing that anymore. He quit to focus on his teaching. So he's suspended from a substitute teaching position in Miami-Dade. And that's that. His teacher certification was revoked despite his insistence that his porn days were over. So it's just a guy who's been fired. And the rest, this is a terrible story. And I don't know what else to tell you. It's just a lousy story. It's not a very well-written story. And, you know, I'm not interested in any other information. I don't give a damn if his DVDs are still out there. I don't give a damn if Wikipedia is still out there. That doesn't, what I'm asking, and it's a very simple question, is that man actively promoting his porn career? Is he out there saying, I'm in the porn industry and I'm making porn movies, or I want you to see my porn movies, or here's a website to go to? The answer is no, apparently. So he was fired because he used to be something. You know, we've got so many great teachers in this country. We've got so many perfect people, in fact, in this country, that we don't need to have a good teacher. Let's just fire him. Okay, that's all I know about the story. It's such a badly written story, and we have such little information on it that I have to just draw that conclusion. What else have we got here before we send off into the sunset our very own Jason Rance? He's going to go over to Cairo Radio, become the assistant program director there. And I wish you the best, man. And you're probably getting a huge raise.
Yeah, no doubt.
Probably. All right, so here is the final piece of garbage that we've got here. Online dating giant Match.com settled a lawsuit Tuesday with a rape victim by committing to perform security background checks on all current and future members. In other words, you got to get raped before these people do anything. By the way, here is another one. Twitter and Facebook have decided they don't really want their sites shut down during riots. Now, here was a question that might have been asked of Twitter and Facebook. I don't know if it was. Do you guys plan on shutting your site down or otherwise monitoring your site for the police? You don't want to do that? Okay. So you guys, what you're going to do, Twitter and Facebook, is you're going to sit back and count your money while a city burns. Is that what you're going to do? I just want to be clear, because the next time it happens, the next time I hear about people burning a city down, and they're using Twitter or Facebook to organize themselves, I'm going to point out the owners and the principals of Twitter and Facebook, their names, how much money they probably made last year, and what they're most likely doing as people use their site to promote a criminal activity. Are they out to dinner with their wives? Are they in Mexico with their girlfriends? Are they sitting around just thumbing through these stacks of hundreds and fifties that they got on their table? We don't know, but we will be sure to let you know. So Match.com decides to do background checks because, like Twitter and like Facebook, well, it never occurred to them that anybody would use their service for illegal purposes. Hollywood screenwriter and author Carol Markin sued the leading internet matchmaker after it linked her up last year with Alan Paul Wurzel of Pacific Palisades, who had at least six previous sexual assault convictions. Wurzel pled, well, they said that you were the perfect match for this guy.
Yeah, but I was going to say, man, maybe she should have married the guy.
Well, I don't know. Did she get attacked?
No, she didn't get attacked.
Wurzel pled no contest to sexual battery last week and oh, I guess he did. Jesus. Markin demanded that Match.com screen members against state and federal sex offender registries. No kidding. Otherwise, you know, world-famous Phil Henry Show produced for the last night by Jason Rantz, our technical director, Dan Northcraft, Chris Johnson, Fred Scotty, our associate producers. The very best of luck to Jason Rantz at his new position as assistant program director at Cairo in Seattle. And this program here henceforth will be produced by Bud Dickman.
Yay!
Because we can't do better than Jason, we might as well do worse. The Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com.
Phil Henry.